Hello, and welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a space where we talk about all different types of creative arts therapies. And that usually includes creative arts therapies such as music, play, dance, drama, poetry. I'm probably missing one, but lots of different things. Expressive arts therapy, and sometimes just creative approaches to therapy. On today's episode, I got to interview Paige Fath, who is a music therapist, and she is a fantastic example of a jack of all trades. She provides in-home services as a contractor, and she really works with such a variety of clients, and she also provides a variety of services, even doing things like traditional music therapy, but then also providing adapted and regular lessons. So we dive into all the intricacies of that type of work. We also dive into telehealth because currently we are not providing in-home services at this time. So Paige really talks a lot about the ins and outs of teletherapy. On top of that, Paige works for Music Therapy Ed, and we also really dive into a lot of the resources that they are providing for music therapists, especially Project Campfire, which is this amazing community of interventions that have they've brought together a really cool way for people to lean on each other, and it's such a great thing, especially during a trying time like now. So take a listen and enjoy the episode. All right, Paige, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Totally. I'm really excited you're here today, and thank you for just taking the time to talk with us.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, for our listeners, can you let us know a little bit about you and what you currently do?
Yeah. So my name is Paige Fath. I'm a board certified music therapist. I do live in Cincinnati, Ohio. I actually work though in multiple cities in Indiana. So I am a traveling contract music therapist. I work mostly on the Medicaid waiver for my, what I consider my full-time contract, one-to-one individual, mostly adults. I do have a few kids, so I have a wide variety of diagnoses. Gosh, I can't even like pinpoint one that I really work with the majority of the time. They're so kind of all over the age range, diagnosis, everything. It's kind of fun that way. I like it because I get a lot of variety. I've always been one of those people that likes to do a bunch of stuff, like even in college, like 2 years in, I was like, is this really what I want to be doing? Because like, am I going to be stuck doing this for the rest of my life? I don't know about that. So I love being a contractor because I love to pick up stuff on the side. So I love my main job, but obviously I contract with Music Therapy Ed for Kat Fulton. And I also do some smaller things. I teach beginner piano lessons to little kids. I teach adaptive lessons to children on the spectrum. And also have done things like teach cultural music classes to homeschooling co-ops and like whatever opportunities I can find, I love to take them. So I just try to diversify myself, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Yeah. How like a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. How do you find balance in all of that? Or is it like really, is it something that's really invigorating more so than it is if you had a kind of like, I guess a more, I don't want to say pigeonholed because that sounds negative, but like more smaller population that you worked with, I guess.
I guess for me, I've always been one of those people. I'm like a go, go, go person. I just hate having time to sit around and do nothing. Like that's all crazy, I know. But like, even if we have like nothing planned, I love to go out and like go to the park and walk. Or like if we have a free weekend, we're like, let's go camping. Like we want to do something. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of love having that flexibility. And a lot of the time, so what I said before is I have like a, what I consider my full-time contract. And I do that work basically Monday through Thursday. And I have enough hours in those 4 days. I've created my own schedule because it's contracting and I have enough hours that it's pretty much full-time. And then that leaves me Friday to do whatever the heck I want. So, pretty fun because like the homeschool co-op I was talking about earlier, I did that. It was like a 10-week deal. So I just did it once a week on Friday mornings, and all these homeschoolers, their parents brought their kids to my house, and I taught it out of my living room for 10 weeks. And it was so I just kind of find these little, you know, whenever opportunities arise, I kind of squeeze them in. And my schedule is just so darn flexible because everything I do is contracting, which makes it a lot easier to do a variety of stuff, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily always feel overwhelmed. There are some days where I'm like, why the heck did I do this to myself? The majority of the time I'm pretty good and I feel pretty good with it. So
yes, that is awesome. And that flexibility must be so nice to be able to like maneuver, move stuff around. Yes. If you have to, if something comes up, you just yes. have that flexibility.
Most definitely. Little quirk about me and my fiance, but we're like crazy Disney people. So we go to Disney World like multiple times a year. And so I love the most about my job is we can just be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to take next week off. So I'll do extra hours this week and extra hours when I get back. And it's like taking time off without taking time off because I'm still using all of their time on the waiver and my client's time allotted by the waiver. And it's pretty great that way where we can just kind of, I don't want to say do whatever I want because that sounds.
Right. Yeah. But no, like that flexibility. Yeah. yeah. To like, yeah. It, I feel like that gives you such a great work-life balance.
Yes, definitely. So we do a lot of like mini vacations and stuff, and that helps balance out crazy workload too. So
totally. Yes. Yeah. And now, and something I'm really interested as you're talking about the waiver, I also work on waiver services here in Colorado, Medicaid waiver. But I don't know if I've had anybody on the podcast before who's talked a little bit about how that looks. So can you explain a little bit what that does look like when you're working on a waiver?
Yeah. So, every state's different, obviously. And even though I live in Ohio, I only really know about Indiana. And I feel like most people, at least that I've encountered in Indiana, would say like, even though they might be very well versed with the waiver, there's still like so many things that you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. Or like, it's changing, or like, you're like, oh, I don't know. There's a lot of information.
Yeah.
But for those who don't necessarily know how the waiver works, if they don't work on it or haven't had any experience with it, basically all my clients have to be referred to services. And then you get allotted so much time per their like waiver year. And then I just try and break that up by like even into monthly increments throughout the year. But you have the whole year to use the time, which is why it's so nice and flexible. Because it's like, if I want to take a couple weeks off, you just shift some hours around to other weeks or something. But I do go into individuals' houses usually. A lot of my clients, I have two clients who lived in shared housing, which is basically owned by a company. And, you know, they have roommates or housemates, as they call them, that are other individuals on the waiver as well. And then they usually have 24/7 staffing in whatever capacity that they require. I have a lot of clients specifically, which I found is a little uncommon for people in my area. Like a lot of my clients live with family, and a lot of the music therapists that I know that work around me actually do live in shared housing. So I have a little bit of a different looking caseload, I guess, interacting a lot more with parents directly, with siblings directly, things like that, in clients' homes, as opposed to working with 24/7 staff. And I do get a chance to go into a day program for like one day a week, basically, and see some clients on the waiver there. But all of my sessions are one-to-one. I don't have any groups or anything. We don't do, I know you can do groups on the waiver, but it's billed differently. And so our company focuses on just one-to-one sessions.
Awesome. Yeah. And there are, I know that like, different people have like different experiences with going in home and like the benefits and stuff. And what are some of those benefits that you found like working directly with families and like having that when you're going in home like that, what are some of the benefits of that work?
You know, I think one of my major things at least is that you do really get a sense of like who that person is. Even if I have a lot of nonverbal clients and I still feel like I know them so, so well, even without them being able to express their likes and desires and things like that, because I have that personal connection with their family. And like the parents who are there every day. And then, you know, the parents usually have a stronger opinion about staff sometimes do too, but not always in my experience. But the parents usually have an opinion about, or the guardians rather, I shouldn't just say parents, you know, what kind of progress they'd like their loved one to see, what kind of that they think they should be working on that would help them in their daily life. So I feel like I personally interact with the family a lot to develop my treatment plans, just because they give so much insight. And I think that's really cool. And then also when I do make a breakthrough with somebody, or somebody makes such awesome progress, and sometimes the families are blown away, and it's just like that much fun to see the reaction, because the family's there to see it and feel it and witness it with you.
Yes.
Sometimes some staff are great and some staff are just kind of like, it's my job, which I get. It is the job. And so sometimes they're not always as excited like that.
Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah. When, the families are just so fun.
Yes. And like, it's so beautiful. Like those moments, like that's like those, like they just like, it like just pulls on my heartstrings so hard of like when parents are so into it that they see it, or even if they're in the kitchen doing the thing, but then they hear the thing that's, and they're like, oh my gosh, that just happened. And it happened in their home. And it can just, I love how beautiful, like you just explained how beautiful that space can be.
Yeah.
Yes.
By far my favorite part. I just had a kid recently who I actually just do adaptive lessons with. We don't do music therapy, but his mom just said, you know, he loves music. I'd love for you to try and see what you can do. And gosh, the first time I went in the house, he was throwing stuff at me. I mean, not like little stuff, like big stuff.
Oh,
like
no.
Flipping a keyboard off the stand and like that kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. Hard time with change, and so it was this whole new situation for him, and mom just thought, she looked at me, she's like, I'm so sorry, I don't know what to do. And I said, no, don't apologize, it's really okay, this is what I'm here for. I said, if you really don't mind, I would really like you to leave the room. And she just had this look of like horror on her face.
Uh-huh.
Are you sure? And I was like, yeah. And so I had mom leave the room, and I just kind of followed him around the house and just sang to him for a while, and suddenly like he just sat down and started clapping and was just like, wow, this is great. That's so pretty. And then mom just peeked around the corner like, what just happened?
How did we go from this space to this space?
It's just those like little, this is the littlest of moments. And, you know, something still have that with that particular individual where he knows me now, and even still he acts like that. But being able to give mom that time too, to like step away for a minute and catch a breather, because while it might be difficult for us, like she's handling him 24/7. She's with him all the time because he's a younger kid, and it gives her to step away and have a breath too, which also I just like that, knowing that we give them that 30 an hour, whatever it is, to have a cup of tea and
yes. Yes. And it's when you're in home, like you are doing that. There's so much more of the family system that you're doing, because you are like, not only are you then seeing the individual, but then you're also supporting the family by giving them that, like just that little bit of time, which is a lot of time for yes. a lot of our family members. Like that's like, oh, you know, just that moment that they need to make it through the rest of the day.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. In-home, I love in-home work too. It's just so, it's so special.
It is. It's so different. And yeah. I never thought it was something I'd wanted to do. I've been with this company for 3 years, and it's the only job I've had since I graduated. But I wasn't sure when I started how much I would love it. And part of that is my boss, who I use air quotes for those who can't see me, but we all call her boss because we're all very close, even though everybody she has in her company is contractors. But we all interact very fluidly, and that's really great. So part of it, of me loving this company and this job, is her, but also like I have just grown to adapt to loving this in-home service so much. Like I never thought, it's not something I ever even considered. And it fell into my lap, and I just kind of stuck.
Awesome. I love it when stuff like that happens, where it's like, I didn't really seek it out, but it happened. And now I get to just experience how much I love it. That's awesome.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So we are currently in the middle of COVID-19. How is that affecting what you're currently doing?
a lot. I mentioned earlier that I do, contract with Music Therapy Ed for CAT earlier. And so it's kind of this weird shift in what my schedule looks like. I, fortunately, now that Indiana has approved telehealth services for the waiver,
which
is so exciting. Yes. So fortunately, I've had about 8 or 9 clients who have chosen to continue and try telehealth. So not quite the caseload I'm used to, but you know, at this point in time, I'm just happy to have any continuation with anybody, not just for myself financially, because for contractors, if we don't have sessions, we just don't get paid. Mm-hmm. So for the continuation of my clients and their progress and not missing out on that or like losing any of the progress we've made thus far, definitely weird. I can't say that I'm a super fan of telehealth sessions. It works, but it feels really funky. We've kind of shifted gears a little bit. And, you know, every company is taking a little bit of a hit right now for the most part, except for toilet paper companies, I guess.
Right? Very good point. Yes.
So we've had to do a lot of support on Music Therapy Ed as well, because we're trying to put resources out there for people. We're trying to be helpful and stay healthy ourselves as a business. A bit of a shift to, like, you know, making sure that we're not overworking. So as I said, we stay healthy financially, but also making sure that there are those resources for people out there on Music Therapy Ed, for people to do stuff while they're stuck at home, to feel productive if they want to feel productive, which nobody should feel like they have to be productive if they don't want to feel productive.
Yeah, I love that. Yes.
But it's there.
Yes. So, yeah. The option. You have the option.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. And then, you know, some of my other little side things, like my piano lessons. I am only teaching one girl right now, and she's, I think, 5, and she just has a hoot with telehealth piano sessions.
Awesome.
I guess it's not telehealth because it's just piano lessons, but, like, you know, piano lessons, like, she just thinks it's the funniest thing, and she just has a blast. And
so good.
We had to, like, retool. So she's 5, so we do skills for, like, 25 minutes and work on songs. And for the last 5 minutes, I had to pull my music therapist self in. And we usually improvise, and she does, like, animal sounds or emotions. Or last week she asked me, Miss Paige, how are we supposed to do that? We can't play together if you're not here. And so I just, like, blew her mind when I got my guitar out. And she played on piano and I played on guitar over the she was like, this is the greatest thing. So
awesome.
So fun to be adaptive and so weird.
Yes. I feel like it's pulled. I have a couple clients where we do some adaptive work in our sessions. And I didn't realize how much, like, I'm relying so much on my musical ear more than before, where, cause I'm not like, I can't see what they're playing because half the time I'm looking at the ceiling, honestly.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Somewhere else it's covering something. So I'm like, I don't even bother. I'm like, okay, let me just try to listen. And it's funny, cause it's like a challenging, I feel like it's challenging these other, like foundational elements of our work in a different way. That's like, whoa, I gotta brush up on that.
Yeah. I have encountered that feeling as well. I understand.
Yes. Yeah. It's been a fun adapting that stuff, but it is, I feel like thankfully as music therapists, we're very adaptable anyway. We're always kind of thinking with that hat on, but then it's like, oh, I might need to develop some of that skill for sure. Or for, like, I've thought many times, seek out additional like training or something like that, like Music Therapy Ed is doing.
Definitely. Yeah. I've realized that when I'm not like sitting in front of the piano with people, that it feels even weirder than normal. Piano was never my strong suit. So like finally started to feel comfortable my professional work with piano. And now that it's like, how do I do it over screen? Like, I don't really know what's going on. There's definitely where you start to feel comfortable in what you do. And then this whole thing just shifts everything. And yeah, you're so right. Like, pointing out or bringing to light those things that we kind of like tuck away because we feel just comfortable enough, but like could still keep improving, because that's one of our responsibilities and roles as a music therapist too. So
yes. Like, I mean, how often do we pull out like our scope of practice or our competencies? Right. And like, I feel like doing this telehealth, I'm lucky almost all of my clients have been willing to do telehealth, and it's making me think about, like, I'm almost thinking I might print it out. I had a supervisor who made us do this where we had to go through and highlight them with three different colors of like, what do we feel confident in? What needs some work? And what do we like really need to address? And like now I'm like, I need to go back through that. This is something like I haven't practiced ear training forever. And like, I should really go back. So it's interesting because I feel like I could revisit that now and it'd be totally different than it was a month ago.
Oh yeah, for sure. I completely agree.
Yeah. So now for anybody who's interested, especially thinking about like competencies and all of this different stuff, Music Therapy Ed is doing, they do so much for our community of music therapists, of the stuff that they make, the resources, the Facebook Live, like all these different things. They always have something going on. As this COVID-19 shift thing has happened, what have been some of the things that Music Therapy Ed has changed, or what are they doing to support all of this change?
Yeah, definitely. So we kicked things off with we had a free masterclass discussing telehealth, which was incredible. We still have it available for people to go watch on the website. It is free. You can get one CMTE for it, for watching it, even watching it back now, even though it's not live still. It goes over different platforms to use, how sessions look, like things you could do. Like, oh, she just covers so much and it's incredible. We actually launched a free library, like a resource library, which is also on our website. And you can find our Mindstorms are in there. So about hour long videos that you can watch. We have the free Intervention of the Month Club, which has been available for a while now. And that is related to Project Campfire, which I'm sure we'll talk more about, but, you get, if you join the club, there's literally no cost or anything to anybody. It's just, you get one intervention idea a month, and we do change it every month. And I actually am in charge of picking those. So I try to theme them month and, you know, make sure that they're great resources for you guys.
Yes.
We have intervention club. We have Facebook live chats that we just started, which our awesome social media team has been working on. Cool. So these are Mabel and Kim, and they're doing coffee and tea with Mabel and Kim Facebook lives. And I'm not sure exactly what they plan on doing, like frequency wise, but like if you catch them, they're so fun. They have a lot of insight. They'll talk about different topics and you can ask questions, and really just wanting to support everybody. And whatever they need to feel supported in. And we did just have a sale on our VIP memberships, but that's really over now. We could bring that back, for a while.
Yeah, and what are the VIP memberships for listeners who might not know?
Yeah, we had a VIP access program that gave you full access to the website. It was such a great cost for you guys, for people who want to purchase. But we had to kind of pull back on that. And so right now we're selling, now that it's over, we're going back to selling single courses. So you can still purchase single courses. But the VIP is now, I think it just ended actually, the sale.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so if you ever see the VIP come back again, you have access to everything. Yeah. So thank you to anybody who listens who signed up for VIP.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It'd be worth, you guys have so much stuff. It would be like, I feel like I could spend months and not get through it all.
Oh yeah. Our website has over 30 courses. We in the works have multiple courses coming up. I mean, we're not stopping just because of this virus. So
yes.
Courses coming out, new topics. We have Project Campfire, which is a whole intervention database. Oh my gosh, just so much.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into Project Campfire. Can you tell us about, like, I don't know if you were on the ends of when it started or like what the catalyst was to make it happen, but like take us there and let's hear about it.
Honestly, I've been on Castine for a little over a year now. And it was on the table for quite a while, and we just didn't have the like manpower to get it done on top of everything else we were doing. And so I'm excited that it's finally out there. But initially it was are just, you know, an idea that came up to bring together this group of ideas for interventions, right? And to be a resource for other music therapists and to support each other. So you can actually feed into it by submitting your own original intervention ideas. But then if you subscribe to it, you can pull other people's ideas. So it's this whole source of like sharing. So it is literally just an intervention database. There's, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 something odd interventions. I can't even remember off the top of my head right now. As the project lead, my promise to our subscribers is at least 10 new interventions every single month to choose from. When you subscribe, you get 5 unlocks every month. So you can unlock 5 different interventions, and then you also have access to the free one. So technically that's 6 a month. Yeah. And there's everything in there. I mean, you can go in and find interventions for, you can search by population. You can search by goal. You can search by instruments required. You can search by, like title, if you know a certain title you're looking for. And we cover a whole lot of different ideas. There's just such a wide variety in there.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And I remember the day that the team was like finally talking about it and like making it a reality. And I remember Kat saying like, I just don't know what we should call this thing. And up to that point we had been calling it Project Campfire just because it was like our own little term amongst the team. Cause we were like, oh, it's like, you know, you imagine it. It's like this warm, fuzzy feeling when you all gather together around the campfire and sing Kumbaya and share your ideas. And then we all were just kind of like, well, Kat, why don't we just call it Project Campfire?
Why don't we just keep it?
that's kind of how it was born.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's pretty fun and cool. And it's interesting to see like the different. So I get to sort through and review all of the submissions that come in for other people's original intervention ideas. And it's so, so fun and just so inspiring, I guess, to see how many to like submit ideas and what these awesome ideas are. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how I never thought of this. I'm so glad that I got to see this intervention idea. And you know, it's really fun to see like everything that kind of pours into it. So
yes. And I remember when you guys, I think when you first launched it and were having people submit ideas, and I submitted one, and I really enjoyed even the process of submitting one. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, oh, like you guys asked a lot of really good questions that made me think like, oh, all of these interventions are going to be really high quality because mm-hmm. you have to have these kind of things in place. That it was like, I really liked that part of it too. Even in submitting it, I was like, oh, sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of our goal when we review them is, would I pay for it? Would I be upset if I paid for this and saw it? And then it's kind of like, if that answer is maybe no, or like not quite exactly what we want, then we don't just flat out deny you. We actually will like email you and ask for you to, you know, we'll say, could you just like Kate Taylor this a little bit, edit this a little bit, or could you add like a lead sheet, or, you know, we just want to make it as high quality for our subscribers as possible, but also like supporting people who are submitting. So we always tell you exactly what else we want with it and then ask you to submit it so that we can approve it. So we try to be very supportive of both sides, and we have awesome rewards for people who submit interventions too. We have a whole program. So
yes. I was like, you get a Starbucks card for submitting it. I was like, heck yes. And then so nice. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you submit like 25, I think with 25 interventions, even if you are not a subscriber or anything, you can still submit interventions. And if you submit 25 that get accepted and published on Project Campfire, you get to choose a CMTE course for free. So
cool.
Yeah. And 50 is one-on-one coaching with Kat herself. And it's
awesome.
Like they build pretty exponentially from like a Panera card to a Starbucks card to a free CMTE course to Kat. Like,
yeah, which is so, and I love that it's like that crowdsourcing thing too, of like, we're all here and we all want to support each other, you know, like why not put our ideas out there, write down our intervention ideas. And especially now with like, I feel like too, with telehealth, there's been so many, I know like the team that I work with at my job, we've been sending each other, we've just had this giant list of interventions that we keep adding to that are really helpful with telehealth in particular, because we've all kind of had to shift of what we can do if certain kids don't have instruments. And I would imagine that Project Campfire has like a really great amount of interventions that are suitable for telehealth.
Yeah, there's tons on there that I think I've actually sat down and looked through it and found, I mean, more than I could count that I think would be really easily adaptable to telehealth. Or you like, some of them just don't even require a lot of equipment at all. Like some are just vocal, or some are just a guitar or drums. And, you know, I've adapted some of those for my sessions. As the lead, I try to use a lot of the interventions so that I can have firsthand experience with them. And, you know, for like ones where they just require the client to have a drum, I'm like, okay, how can we do this? So I'm like looking around, trying to think of like ways to do it. And I'm like, okay, like, let's see, let's make this. And I heard somebody else is doing this too, like make it an activity, build a drum out of something in your house.
So, yes.
And then do your intervention. So it's like, there are really a lot of things you could do to adapt everything on there. And to me, it's the most helpful thing, because when I'm trying to focus all my creativity and like my creative mind on like, how do I make this telehealth session the best I can make it? Then I'm like a little bit out of a loss for trying to come up with intervention ideas too, because it's like, I only have so much energy.
Yes. So yes.
The fact that I like have these ideas waiting for me and that I just have to adapt them instead of coming up with new ideas and figuring out how to make that work in telehealth and figuring out the technology of like the telehealth. Cause a lot of my clients struggle with that. It's just, there's just so much that it's just, it feels so good to me to feel supported by having that there and having that resource.
Yeah. I think you hit something like so important, like right on the head too, of like, we are in this time where we're all focusing on adapting, and like it depletes those resources of being creative and thinking of new interventions. And like, we're, you know, like partially in that survival mode of like, let's just tread water and make it through. And like, we have to plan our session to make it appropriate. But like, I feel like it's almost like, okay, I need to rely on other interventions that I already have in my pocket, and those might be old, and maybe I need something new to make this really engaging, because it's very different in telehealth. And that's, I feel like, exactly with what those like intervention brainstorm resources are so helpful for.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, it's a whole crazy world out there.
Yes. Yeah. And like, really, I think it's something really important too for other people who may not have like realized that, of like the exhausting part of like why this is so exhausting, is exactly what you're saying. Like we're adapting to something totally new, totally different, on top of all the emotions that are happening with all of this. Like, now is the time for us to like rely on each other and to like have these crowdsourcing resources. Yeah. Where it's like, we're all here, we all have our interventions, let's just trade and then, you know, use them and then go.
Everything has to be brand new every second of every day. Like, you can totally borrow and that's okay.
Yes. And like, well, and you know, adapt it how you need. Like, it doesn't have to, you don't use it the way exactly it's written. Like, adapt it like you were saying.
Exactly. Our whole slogan is, you bring the goals, we bring the goods. We don't want you to come in and unlock an intervention and just use it as is. Like, that's not our intention. We know that everyone has individualized treatment plans and goals for each client, and we want you to take the idea and adapt it to your goals. We don't want you to just say like, oh, well, this is the goal that is written with this intervention, which, yeah, we have like a domain listed with each one, but like, totally, like there's, I mean, as most music therapists know, and I'm sure most therapists of any genre know, like, you can adapt any kind of intervention or activity to meet several different, you know, domain areas likely. So it's just, we want you to take it and make it your own. We don't want you, it's not there just for you to be like copy and paste.
Like, yes, totally. And even like on the other end, because I remember when I submitted mine, it's for it, like, it asks for the domains. And I was like, well, it does like communication, sensory, physical, social too. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I guess I have to pick like one of the main ones. But like, even then too, to think that like when people are submitting these, like, it can address so many different things. It's mm-hmm. how you're going to take it as an individual and then use it for your individual clients.
Exactly. That's the overarching goal right there for
yes.
practice and self. And what we want people to always remember about it is adapt, adapt, adapt.
Yes. I love that too. That is like the best for you bring the goals and we bring the goods. I love that. I had one of my professors, I actually did an interview with her a month or two ago, Dr. King. She works at Nazareth College and she mm-hmm. had, this one thing she always said to us, she was like, interventions are not prescriptive. And so mm-hmm. it was like that always thing of like, use them, but don't use it as a prescription. Just find a way to adapt it and like use your creativity there instead of making a whole new intervention if you don't have
Definitely.
To or don't
Exactly.
want to or yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. don't have the time because contractors like myself only get paid so much in direct time. So
yes.
hard to balance that. And it's not just a problem for contractors. I know that sometimes like, music therapists just don't have the time to like, there's not enough time in the day.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, I think it's one of those, it's like that balance thing of like when you're in a space where like, it's like, wow, I need like some new interventions. Maybe I have time to write a couple new songs, but I still need 5 more, you know, 6 more yeah. to work on these other things. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, like you said, over
exactly.
and over again. Yeah. Yep. That is awesome. That's super exciting. I love what that project stands for, especially I feel like it just strengthens the music therapy community so much too.
Hopefully. That's the goal.
Yeah. Bringing people together of like, you know, I don't know. I like that bringing, it's like a community. It makes this other type of community. Mm-hmm. And same thing with like the Facebook things that you guys are doing too. It's like creating this community yeah. that we really need right now.
Yeah, that's really our, we want to be as resourceful as possible with music therapy ed because we know it's a platform that can still exist right now and people can access right now. So that's everything that we're coming out with is with that in mind, just trying to be accessible, trying to be reasonable, like pricing wise and accommodation wise and just providing resources the best we can. So we're trying.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys rock it. It's awesome. You guys are always like sparking idea. I even like on your social media, like is it just Mabel and Kim that run that? Mm-hmm.
They're our main social media. Yep.
Yeah. Like even sometimes like the questions or the little, you know, on Instagram, the different, you know, write in things you can do. It's like those little sparks that sometimes you need throughout the week.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
Fresh air sometimes.
Yes, yeah, keeps things going when you need it to, for sure. And you guys are doing so much. It's crazy to like Facebook live chats, Project Campfire, you know, masterclass. You have the CMTEs too. It's just so awesome that there's so, mm-hmm. it's like literally, I feel like it's like literally walking into a library where you're like, okay, there's all these different things that we mm-hmm. can go to and support, which is great.
I always get this kind of feeling that, you know, music therapy ed is just like a continuous online mini conference.
Yeah. Yes. Totally. Yes. Yeah. And it's funny too. Now, we were supposed to have the MWR conference, it was supposed to be in a couple of weeks and they somehow made it accessible to like get it online, mm-hmm. which is really cool too.
Awesome.
To see that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, some conferences. Are you in, you're not in Mid-Atlantic.
I went to my regional. I'm in GLR.
Oh, that's right. GLR did have theirs. Yes.
Yes. Okay. We had it the first weekend of March, right before everything. it was kind of crazy. I know like there were people who didn't go because they were afraid. And I know that there were, you know, people afterwards posting and tagging like as many people as Facebook would let them tag and be like, anybody have symptoms? Is everybody okay? Like just checking in.
Yeah.
Day 14, and we were in Chicago, which was one of the first places that cases started popping up in some of the counties from Chicago. So, yeah, it was crazy, but it was a great conference too. Like there was so much like this feeling of like camaraderie, just even at GLR. I feel like so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people are like feeling that strength more, even with like online stuff. People are like, yeah, you know,
yeah.
like our communities feel so much stronger. We're as I think a collective, everybody going through all this, like you just feel that tighter.
You definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so awesome that you guys were able to have yours in person.
squeezed it in.
Yes, taught like perfect timing. I was like, ours was April 18th, 17th through 19th for Midwestern. And like back in March, I was like, oh no, like what's going to happen? And I'm doing a CMTE for it too. And I was like, oh, I hope it doesn't like totally cancel. Oh. And like just, but the, I don't know how the planners did. I give them so much props.
That's
for
amazing.
Yeah. The conference planner, whoever they are, thank you so much. Cause that must have taken so much work to make it happen online, but people are just like, it's really amazing to see how much creativity and the work people are bringing in to make things new and different and accessible still.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Oh my goodness. Well, Paige, this has been so, so lovely to hear about what you do with your work, to hear about your jack of all trades work. You're doing all this cool stuff in so many different avenues. If there is anybody, any of our listeners who are interested in talking with you more about contract work, working in home, music therapy ed, Project Campfire, what's a great way to find you or reach out to you?
That's a good question. Probably reach me by email. It's
perfect.
I'll just spell it because it's kind of long. It's paige.fath.mt@gmail.com. I'd never mind Facebook friends, and I'm just Paige Fath on Facebook and Turn the Page 93 on Instagram.
Cool. Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah, thanks. Beware social media goers. You might see a lot of pictures of my dogs and cats. So I'll just
put
that out there. But yeah, feel free to friend me if you want. Message me, email me. Yeah, whatever.
Those are the best pictures in my I'm a big dog, cat person, animal person. I don't care what it is. I want to see it.
Yeah. We have a mini zoo, so.
Oh my goodness.
Like we have three dogs and four cats and a rabbit and we foster dogs.
I love that so much. It'd be like my dream house to just come hang out. Like, can I just come hang out with your pets?
Yeah, sure. You know, if you're ever in Cincinnati, stop by.
Yes, I will. I love that. Love it so much. We have one dog and one cat and that is like, I'm like, we need so much more. Where are my chickens? I need chickens. I need something else. Like, Right. I want so bad. I grew up with chickens, so life goals.
Yeah.
And I will be sure to link to Music Therapy Ed, the masterclass that you mentioned, Project Campfire, the Facebook live chats and stuff. I'll try to link to as many of that those things as possible too for listeners if they're interested in that. And I think, my goodness, I think we've covered everything to make sure there's links so people can get to that stuff quickly. So
perfect.
Yeah. Paige, thank you so much for taking the time to just share your passions with us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was really fun.
Totally. Anytime. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I loved talking with Paige. As a fellow in-home service provider, I always find it really invigorating talking with other people who provide really similar services. And she's clearly a very passionate person. So I always find that really exciting talking with passionate people. It's contagious. That's the word. So don't forget to check out the show notes and go follow Paige, reach out to her if you have some questions, go check out Project Campfire and Music Therapy Ed, all of the stuff. They're constantly putting out new material and new supports for music therapists. So go check out all of that stuff. Also, if you are enjoying the podcast, the number one way that you can support us is by going over to Apple Podcasts and subscribing, leaving us a rating, and leaving us a review. This really helps other people who are looking for this type of content to find us when they type it in their search bar. So if you have a moment, that would be greatly appreciated. Also, be on the lookout next week for an early special release. I am going to be releasing my episode on Monday, the 27th, and it's going to be a special episode. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to give you any more hints. So it will come out a little bit early. It'll be fun to have something different, and I'm co-releasing my episode with somebody else. So another awesome, really great music podcaster, fellow music therapist. We had way too much fun. So feel free to check that out on Monday when it comes out, and hope you guys are safe and healthy. Wishing you all the best, and take care and be creative.